This week, South Africans go to the polls to vote in the most important election since 1994. We get an update from Neil de Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, a party in the multi-party charter. Welcome, Neil.
Yeah, good morning. I think the lines underneath the eye means tired, exhausted, but so excited. Three more days after a very long campaign, after so much emotion, but I believe that we are nearly there. So yeah, good morning, Chris. Had my three coffees already.
So have I. Neil, last time we spoke, the political landscape was still so fluid that it was too close to call. Would you like to venture a prediction on the outcome of the election now?
Yeah, I think there's dream and there's reality. I think a person always dreams a level where you want to be, and you focus as to the points of the percentages that polls are giving and yourself. So as a president of a new party in this election, but not a new party in government, we are wanting to reach a certain goal. We have a target in mind, but the reality is dawning very quickly. I think not just on our party, but on everyone. So at this current moment, I'm seeing again the climb of the ANC. There's no doubt, you can see in a couple of days that the statistics have come out that they are actually now climbing. I realized, and everybody that said to me that the ANC is going to get below 40 are in La La Land. I've told that to you before. I've said above 45, between 45, and if 48 is their top ceiling, so be it. But they are definitely climbing in the last couple of days. This is the sentiment of the T-shirt, the Kentucky, and the mooring into stadiums to create that facade. Very interesting, though, is that it seems that the MK party, in its top structure, is disintegrating. Not only this huge slash on the losing of the court case of Jay-Z, saying that he cannot become a member of parliament, and the utter rubbish now being spun by his henchmen to say that he still has a chance. This is not true. And as we stand today, locus standi, he is not allowed to. So there's rumblings. And obviously the DA machine marching on, trying to garnish as much support as what it can. But there are people that are rising and there are people that are falling. I see Rise and Zanzi took a bit of heat this week, and being told that they are, in actual fact, something which they didn't say. So Chris, just in conclusion, the dirty games are coming out, the last kicks of horses before the death, and that we can expect. It's a nasty campaign, it's a dark campaign, and I predict in the next 3 days it's going to get worse.
Now, Neil, you are a man who at heart has always paid great heed to intelligence and not to polls. And I know you know so much that you never say, but would you be willing to tell us who has been having secret coffee dates with whom and for how long?
Yeah, I think being a person that comes out of the intelligence services, I think we always used to say intelligence is categorized. It starts with a rumor. It then becomes a story. It then gets turned into information. And only when verified do you put the stamp of intelligence on it. So there's a long process. I said to you in my last talks, it's not whom is going to talk with whom, it is who is talking to whom. Now, I've always said that there's been a huge rumor that the DA is talking to the ANC. It's been repeated, and people always use that cliche, smoke fire. I say kill it when it's smoking, because when it's fire, you need a bigger brigade. So I got sent this morning by a flurry of people, funny enough, trying to share intelligence, that Helen Ziller has said categorically that they will form a government with the ANC if it has to happen that the MPC, who they are part of, does not get the 50+1. And that when we as the MPC fails, they will rather form government with the ANC than allowing a MK and EFF government. Now, Chris, when someone says that to me, it then has gone from story, rumor, info, intelligence. This is just a confirmation what everybody has been saying. So I can say you I have no photographic or verbal or taped evidence, but it's obvious. I mean, you know, people don't have to be so naive. Is that a prerogative of the DA? Yes, it is. But as I've said so many times, there's also discussions, I think, between the EFF and certain members of the ANC. Now, if you look at that, there's also been that rumor, story, info, intelligence, that a guy like Julius Malema does not at all respect Cyril Ramaphosa. He does not get on with him. They do not sit around the fire, and they can't even face each other to make as if they do. But we do know that he has got kind of a sense of more debatable option with Paul Mashatile. Now, this is also not new, as you know. There's been hints that if Cyril is out of the way and Paul Mashatile, who is the obvious person to take over, should take over the presidency, then no doubt the ANC and EFF coalition would be on the table. And that's a fact. So there you've got another scenario. We can't totally annihilate MK because at the end of the day, it is this mass drumming, this huge escalation of the rise of MK, and obviously this rumor that Dudizile is in actual fact the master. But now we've got to be careful within liberation movements, Chris. The fall of Robert Gabriel Mugabe was in actual fact at the end of the day. Not that the people of Zimbabwe did not want to keep the old man in place. No, it was the fact that his wife, Grace, took over and wanted to run ZANU-PF. And she was heading her way to build up this huge scenario around her to put her as the president. Now, this is the problem we are facing within MK. There's a person there who is not the actual person, but the daughter of, who's now securing herself in such a fashion, rumor has it, in a massive dictatorship of forcing her way there. And that could be stifling now the actual unrest within that party, but that they've got numbers, sure. Will they get to the prescribed previously guesstimate of 8? No. I think they're going to get far less than that. But maybe as kingmaker in KwaZulu-Natal, absolutely. So these are the things that are happening, not will be. They are. And that's categorically how it stands.
Okay. So where does this leave the MPC, especially after the election?
Chris, I think just from our side, we had our last MPC meeting leadership last week. You know, we've met for the past year and more, every second Thursday. I was quite inspired sitting in that meeting and everybody, and I must tell you, there was a conclusional spirit. Each leader had something to say, and it was tremendously positive. We have weathered the storm. And in actual fact, Chris, I will say this and say it again and again. The fact that that amount of leaders of some of the biggest parties in this country, factually, sitting around the table for a year, sticking to it, committing to it, and in the final, can I call it, 20 meters of the 100, we reaffirm to each other our commitment to the finality of this race. But when this is done, it's not over. When this is done, it is not the end of the collaboration of various parties, more than what is currently in the MPC most likely, is that we will then get together and make two choices after this election. Choice one, if we won 50 plus one, we have 14 days to form a government of national unity between the people that are part of the MPC. Choice two, if we don't make it, then there is a secondary option that we will see what we are short within percentage. And it's always been our declaration that the people that align themselves to the conditions to the rules, to the perspectives and the policies of the MPC are absolutely welcome to speak to us. There are indications. There were people like Rise Mzansi, like Bosa, like all other parties who democratically decided they will not join us during the period before election, but did not close the door after the election. So that's the second phase. If we fall short of, we can still talk to parties who align themselves to our policy. And then the third one, the one that I fear that would become reality, the third one, is that we don't make 50 plus one. We then have to get together and say to each other, will we now form a united front, as can I call it, a unified bloc opposition in Parliament? And these are the options that stare us as the MPC in the face.
But Neil, I know you've never been afraid to go it alone. And if you have to, I'm sure you will. So what is the strategy of United Independent Movement going into this election and beyond?
I think the strategy is clever. It's clever. It's a very clear one. You know, I'm a dreamer. I've always been a dreamer. I dream a lot. I have success with a lot and I fail at some. But with the UIM, I have absolutely stuck. I'm absolutely focused. More grey, less hair, gives you a different perspective. Fighter, I'm a fighter. I think you know that because I've never stopped, I think since birth, apparently when I came and got born, I'm still looking for the doctor who hit me on my mum. So I will never give up. I think there's three reasons that I stick to the UIM. We are currently in local government. We make absolutely headway in all the current local government places we are. Myself in Cape Town, we stand strong. We are one voice, but we cause a thunderous wave. In Ekurhuleni, we absolutely resist and keep the people accountable. And in Joburg, Fatim Abdul, my vice president, keeps on fighting the fight for the voices. So the UIM is clear. We are going to Parliament. If it's one, two, or three, grace of God, five, that's not realistic. So if we get one, two, or three in this national election, my voice has always been a voice of accountability. You've got to understand this. I'm going to sit in that parliament every day and I will protest, contest, and get up to say what is wrong in this country. Because sometimes the protests might turn into a little bit of a revolution. I'm not going to sit there and be bullied by anybody. If there's a murder in this country, if there's a rape in this country, if there's a looting in this country, if there's theft, you can take it, Neil de Beer, even if I'm alone, I'm going to bash them and bash them hard. We cannot promise a house. We cannot promise a road. We cannot promise the completion of the economy. We are not in that position. So when you say, give you a house, give you a street, give you a job, it's a lie. And many parties, Chris, are promising and writing checks in their name that their bodies can't cash. And I'll get to that now, if I may, because we've got to talk about what happens if a PA government, an ANC government, a DA government happens, because I want to say that. But in this, the UIM is critically clear. We will not form government with a EFF, ANC, MK, or connected cabal party. And if one of us who is in coalition with us does so, we walk, Chris. We walk, we keep our torch and candle alive, because I am not speaking on my own. I have many who agree with the UIM that is the conditions that we have. Rather stand alone and fight on, because we need change. If this is another 5 years, another 10, they say Africa is a tough country, but you've got to out-tough it. And remember, Chris, a vulture is a patient bird.
In that sense, the UIM at least is not a party that will have to go back to its voters to get a different mandate than the one it had previously been given, Neil. So Let's talk about all the empty promises that have been made and how the people or the parties that made those promises are going to look in a new government.
Chris, people are going to get hurt. People are going to get hurt. I think political rhetoric, political nuance, political debate and political discussion is always that thing of promises and we're going to deliver and all that hogwash. But at the end of the day, no one has kept these political parties accountable. Because it doesn't even seem the courts at times are keeping people accountable. The people definitely are not. So you need a party like a UIM that has no fear, that carries no favor, that has been funded by no one but ourselves, penny for penny, that has put up our 8 posters, that has looked at it and said, we'll rather give people food and sort out social contest than put a poster of 30 million on that, because what do you do with a poster afterwards? Eat it. So yesterday, I must tell you, Chris, I was driving down a road and there was a person that's homeless and his whole house is built from political posters. So from... What?
Built on promises.
Oh, absolutely. The fact was, it wasn't just one party's poster. There was Herman's face, Cyril's face, there was Gayton's face. The only one that wasn't there was me because we didn't have enough posters. But the point of...
That's epic.
This is, if there was ever a caption of what happens to political parties, this was it. And I'm sorry I had to drive past it at a speed, I would have stopped and taken the picture and said, this is the end result of political parties. They become homeless. So I am saying, if you look at a ANC government, it's not going to change. They can't change. They are entrenched in this cloud of skullduggery, of power play, of creating hope without substance about people that loot, that steal, and that have become bigger there. Not all of them, but they are there. And this has become systemic. So don't expect the change to come within the ANC. If the EFF rules with coalition or on itself, it's the button of self-destruction on this country's final bid to regain its economic prowess and its stability of foreign direct investment, because they will have to totally change their constitution. And I think that's why Julius's kid name, except for mine, Frikki Malema, is absolutely that he's a flip-flopper. He flip-flops. So you are going to get a inconsistent, nationalistic, socialistic ideology with an idea of taking instead of giving. With a PA government, I'm sorry to tell you, I will say only one thing. Wherever they are, when they leave, whatever they did collapses and comes to haunt them. So you are going to have an aptitude of a person who is very clever and streetwise that can sell the Oros, but without the ice blocks. So currently, the dream of a Beaufort West becoming a Dubai, the hullabaloo that was created on the West Coast looking for a little girl, and then the opinion of going to Knysna, and then looking at George at another scenario of a absolute sorrow being used as a campaign. So there you've got it. I'm sorry, they are writing checks they can't balance. To go and say that they are going to solve the immigration problem in this country by just mass deportation shows you that a person does not understand international law. It's not just about picking someone up, putting them in a truck and evacuating. There's law, there's common law. So these are promises that can't get. If you look at a DA government, you are going to get an effective fight where people are going to try and manage critical situations, but not being able to because they don't and will not have the full support. I mean, they're fighting in Swaziland. They refuse to get involved in Johannesburg. They are looking at the only bastion they've got with respect, and that is the Western Cape. Now, the Western Cape at this current moment is the placard of, if you get us in government, this is what we can do. But it is not working in Umtata. So I've always said, I will vote DA. I promise you, I will become a DA member the minute that they can go into Umtata in the Eastern Cape and turn that province around in 1 year. The challenge is not to turn Cape Town, to turn Durban. These are metros that are established and have since 1652. The challenge will be to go into the Eastern Cape. Any party that can go into the Eastern Cape and change that economy around, you can take government as far as I'm concerned. Because that's the challenge. So every party, you can see parties that made big promises. COPI's gone. The UDM is gone. Because the people built parties around Tera Lokota, Bantuala Misa, they are gone. The one that needed to find its place again, and I'll tell you it is the IFP. The IFP had a huge loss and thought that by the loss of Buthelezi, the icon as well around the party, that the party would actually collapse. It hasn't. With the leadership of Honorable Slapisa taking over, I think you can agree, Chris, they stayed to the optimum stable. And they are fighting, and their focus has always been KwaZulu-Natal. I think they are going to stabilize, and they will continue to build now into the next future. We need to also say, is Helen going, or is Helen staying? Is John going to make it? Now, when you look at the dynamics between the John and the Helen, time says that the time of the Helen era will go. It is only natural. And the time that John needs to now look at himself, but also look at the future, is critical. So the DA must go also through this. And then the rest of the parties, the UIM is a new party. It brings a new aptitude, a new attitude. It will grow slowly but surely, and so will the small ones. And I hope that after this election, that the name calling, the name bashing, the critical tearing of each other apart, that at the end of the day, that after this election, we can unite again, we can forgive again, and we can focus on the real reason why we went into politics, for the people, about the people, and to better the people.
I think the people of South Africa would appreciate a government that governs for the people.
Yeah, I also think, Chris, we've got to understand international influence. Being a person that was part of the intelligence services, not just in this country, but had a huge understanding of intelligence services on the continent of Africa and globally. You know, our world is not an island. I must tell you a bit of a dip here. I had a long debate yesterday with an avient person that tried to impress me about supporting Cape independence and exit. And I said to the person, may I ask you, just a very cold, flushed, straight question. Why do you want to exit? And this person said, well, fundamentally, we want to break away to get out of all the hogwash that is currently in South Africa. We want to take Cape and we want to make it a province, and then our problems are solved. I said, the fundamental flaw there is that the minute that you become independent, you're going to have your utter revolution in there. Because if you send human beings to the moon and you put 10 South Africans on Pluto, in the first week there will be 9 political parties created, 14 rugby teams and 16 churches. This is what happens when human beings co-create and become a society. Don't think you can exit in your Muran and get away from hogwash and rubbish. Where humans are, such existence of trouble will come. It's just how it happens. So the guy looked at me and he said, well, then we will have to exit from the exit. I said, yes, you will not stop exiting. Because this is the fundamental problem we have in this country. We think we can run away from our problems. The only people, Christian, that can sort out South Africa's problems is South Africans themselves. But we are influenced. And if this is breaking news on your program, so be it. The country does not fundamentally decide on its own who will lead. So if you want to go a little bit deeper, this country says that it makes its own decision on who will lead this country in an election. What a lot of toss. That's rubbish. This country, through its leading party, is influenced not by just the domestic vote, but with massive international guidance, assistance, and funding. So whoever tells you that this country stands it alone and its domestic power is isolated in its domestic influence has not a tinkling clue about how global politics works. So the fact of the matter, the sadness of this, is that South Africans are going to fight on Wednesday and vote who they want to. But the governing party that carries the most influence from outside will win and will then govern for the next 5 years with a huge sentiment of 60% influence globally, but 40% from the world masters. And that is reality. That, Chris, is not info. It's intelligence. But I think you know that.
Any last words, Neil? This is our last interview before the election.
Yeah, Chris, it's been an absolute honor and privilege on Sundays to sit with you to make sure that we've got the info ready for your brilliant show. May I start off by saying to you, to Alec, and to the people of your station, thank you for giving the opportunity of truth and sometimes rumor to come out, but to stand strong. You're an incredible person, and you are also a person that finds the truth, the light. Secondly, to the people of this republic, the reason I joined politics, I want to tell you that looking to these pale blue eyes, I am a grandfather, I am a dad, I am a South African. My time in politics might not be forever, but I will tell you, I have weathered huge storms, Chris, in my life. I have had cancer 3 times now, without anybody knowing. I have been campaigning and working for years through chemotherapy and every day, fighting to survive. I've now been 3 months cancer-free. Feels like 3 years. And it seems we've beaten it again. Like cancer, like your own personal strives, and like South Africans battle every day their own fight. My dream and my request and prayer is that we find that South Africa that we all truly believe it can be. That we really stretch amongst ourselves, no matter religion, color, skin, or pigmentation, and realize that this country's true potential lies not in its beauty just of geography, but in the souls of every person who says that they are a South African. And this is something I am proud of. This is something I live for. And at times, we're willing to die for. We don't need to feel that we are not on top of the world. We need to put leaders that will take us to the top of our world. And that is my solemn prayer for the next 3 days, Chris.
Thank you. That was Neil Depeer, the president of United Independent Movement, speaking to BizNews on the eve of the most important election in 30 years. Thank you, Neil.